Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, no matter who you are or what you're going through, you still gotta believe it's gonna get better. I got my friend Minister Lisa Noe-Smith to help me do it this time. Let's go!
Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist Holly Spring Bible Study. This is Tuesday, October the 13th, 2020. We thank you for being a part of our Bible study tonight. We ask that you will be a part of, continue to be a part of our Bible study as we continue to move forward in doing what God has asked us to do. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Spring, North Carolina. We are a friendly church. Our doors hang on welcome hinges. You're always welcome to be a part of the worship service of First Baptist. We ask that you will go to our Facebook page. Go there, hit the like button, and also share so others will know that First Baptist of Holly Spring is on the air. We want to make sure that we get the word out so that people will know what's going on at First Baptist. They can go to that Facebook page. They can find our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock. They can also find the link for our Bible studies Tuesday at 7 p.m. We also have other articles and other services that we have done on the Facebook page. So we invite you to go there. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to come before your people to study the Word of God. We pray now, God, that something be said and something be heard that will inspire your people to keep on giving you the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm a little hoarse tonight, so I'm going to get First Lady to do some reading for me. But tonight, we're going from the scriptorial lesson that we normally do on Tuesday night. And tonight, we're dealing with a spiritual, psychological, and emotional effects of COVID-19 pandemic. Now that this pandemic has caused a lot of grief and a lot of fear and a lot of loneliness, being separated from loved ones, being separated from the church, being separated from all the things that you would normally do. This COVID-19 pandemic drags on a global, and there's no doubt that it's taken a lasting toll on the mental and the psychological health and the spiritual health of those who are going through. There's a study at the university. Most of the students are suffering through depression, and stress, and fear, and loneliness. Our studies have found small increases in anxiety and depression among general public. Those who are in the church are going through as well. So we have been affected by this disease. This disease is a global pandemic. So what are we doing? How do we handle this? How do we handle this coronavirus pandemic? Some would say, well, ain't nothing you can do. Well, there are some things you can do. One thing you can do, you can take care of your health. You can take care of your spiritual health. You can take care of your mental health. You can take care of your emotional health. Now, I got to speak on this because some of our black folk are emotionally bad anyway. You know, you just got bad nerve. You got bad emotional situations going on in your life. And to add this on top of it, can stressful for those who are going through at this time. To open the line a little early, I'm going to ask First Lady to do a little reading for and she's going to read some stuff on the pandemic. And then we're going to come back and we're going to open our line. Most of this discussion tonight will be an open line discussion. Again, we are parting from our normal biblical study. Every Tuesday night, we come to you at 7 o'clock and we do biblical Bible study. But every now and then, we do a topical discussion. And this is one of those nights we're doing a topical discussion. So I don't want anyone to say, well, Reverend Rogers didn't give no scripture. He ain't talking about the Bible. You know, I got all that to deal with. So I'm telling you up front, this is a topical, parting from the regular biblical scripture to talk about us for a while. All right? First Lady, I'm going to call you in just a minute. I'm going to ask that when you speak, to make sure that you are courteous to those who else will be speaking so that they can hear you as well. We won't be talking over one another. First Lady, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, would you go ahead and start reading for us? All right.
Good evening to everyone. The coronavirus disease 2019, known as COVID-19 pandemic, may be stressful for people. Fear and anxiety about a new disease and what could happen can be overwhelming and cause strong emotions in adults and children. Public health actions such as social distancing can make people feel isolated and lonely and can increase stress and anxiety. However, these actions are necessary to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Coping with stress in a healthy way will make you, the people you care about, and your community stronger. Stress during an infectious disease outbreak can sometimes cause the following: fear, worry about your own health and the health of your loved ones, your financial situation or job, or loss of support services you rely on, changes in sleep or eating patterns, difficulty sleeping or concentrating, worsening of chronic health problems, worsening of mental health conditions, increased use of tobacco, alcohol, and other substances. Take care of your mental health. Mental health is an important part of overall health and well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, and how we act. It may also affect how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices during an emergency. People with pre-existing mental health conditions or substance use disorder may be particularly vulnerable in an emergency. Mental health conditions such as depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia affect a person's thinking, feeling, mood, or behavior in a way that influences their ability to relate to others and function each day. These conditions may be situational, short-term, or long-lasting, chronic. People with pre-existing mental health conditions should continue with their treatment and be aware of new or worsening symptoms. If you think you have a new or worse symptom, call your health care provider. Call your health care provider if stress gets in the way of your daily activities for several days in a row. Free and confidential resources can also help you or a loved one connect with a skilled, trained counselor in your area. Faith and spirituality during this virus, COVID-19, have brought a flood of fear and uncertainty for so many of us. We have a 24-hour news cycle that consumes us. We've been told not to leave our homes unless we must. Most of our lives are in sudden upheaval as we adjust to a new normal for an unforeseen amount of time. Sometimes we don't know where to turn for support. While this global pandemic is unique in many ways, these feelings of fear and isolation are nothing new. Many of our religious and spiritual traditions have been poised to respond to times of crisis since time immemorial. Okay, Pastor.
Pastor Rogers. Thank you so very much, First Lady. I thank you for reading that. I'm a little hoarse tonight, so I ask her to read for me. What she is saying is that many times what is really affecting those who already have pre-existing conditions. And I'm not talking about just pre-existing body sickness. I'm talking about people who have pre-existing mental health problems. And we all know at least two people who have mental health problems. And so we have to understand that it could even affect us, those of us who think that we are mentally well, those of us who think that we have it all going to get it together, those of us who feel like we can handle it. It can get to you. It can get to you to a place where you have become complacent and you forget about yourself and you begin to look funny, you begin to talk funny, you begin to act a little different because of the fact that you have been isolated, you have been exiled or isolated, and that loneliness can bring on about anxiety. That loneliness can bring on stress. That loneliness can bring out opportunity for you to think about things that are not necessarily good for you mentally. So this is what we're dealing with right now. We're talking about the mental health of those of us who are going through. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell there's a difference in me. I want to go out. I want to be in my church. I want to preach. I want to be there. I want to be with the people of God. And because I have not been able to do that, there are times that I do get depressed. There are times I just sit in the house, just stare out the window. I'm not trying to give you my business. I'm just telling you the truth because it has done something to me as a pastor. I know they say, well, Reverend Rogers, you're preaching on Facebook. That's good, but it's not the same. It's not the same. It's like turkey bacon. It's like turkey bacon. You're not supposed to eat bacon. So they say, well, Pastor, eat turkey bacon. Well, I've tried turkey bacon. It is all right, but it ain't the same. It ain't bacon. Amen. So, So I thank God for the opportunity to be able to be in the pulpit on Sunday and preach on Facebook Live. I thank God for that. Without that, I don't know what we would do. But at the same time, spiritually and emotionally, it does something to me not to be able to see my people, not to be able to speak to them directly, to look at their faces, to hear their voices. And I'm dealing with it, but I'm just talking about me right now. So all of us are going through something. All of us are, not able to see your grandkids. The grandkids come over and they only stay for a few minutes and then they're gone. You can't go to the store like you want to. You just go in and you hurry to pick up what you want and then you run right back out. And it has taken a toll on us spiritually and mentally. So I want to open the lines tonight, people who may be going through, or some people who may have some suggestions about going through. I'm going to open the lines, 919, last four digits, 1649. Are you on the line?
Pastor Rogers, did you say 1694?
Go right here. 1694, right. I'm sorry. Go right here. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. This is certainly a topic of discussion that could take, several series parts if we allowed it to. But I'm thankful that we have an opportunity tonight to listen and to have a say-so in this discussion. Yes, sir. There's so many things. First of all, it's when humans are told not to do something, that gets everyone, no matter what color, no matter what background they come from, that gets everyone anxious. And people can only hold out for so long before they decide to try something. And that's one big thing that's happening right now, as we see a lot of places and opening up, a lot of people starting to venture out more. Non-fellowship, human touch is human interaction is another big thing that affects everyone. We don't even think about it, but just being able to go to the store and then to this restaurant on a daily basis like we want to, that affects us because we don't think about it right off the top, but subconsciously it's that thing we can't do. When you tell a child not to, something that's hot or not to do something, they eventually go and try and find out for themselves. I mean, this discussion could be so very deep, but I just want to thank you for having a part in saying that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. God made us to be people who stay in touch with other people. God did not make us to be isolators, to be in isolation. God made us to be able to contact and connect with others, and it does something to you when you can't do that. 919-5716. Are you on the line?
Good afternoon, Reverend Rogers.
Go right ahead.
This is Sister Beth. How you doing? Sister
Doing
Rogers?
Great, Sister Beth.
Good. Reverend Rogers, I had a question because I guess at one point in time I sort of had a discussion with mental illness and stuff, and I think during the discussion it was brought up, I don't know whether people are not aware of how prevalent it really is, that there's a lot of issues with mental illness and stuff. And I think the conversation led to whether it's really a mental illness or whether it's just a evil force, an evil spirit that's within a person, you know, because we do have, you know, we do have those evil spirits out there too and stuff like that.
Right.
So really it was just to the point where you was, you know, whether you would see that it was a mental illness or whether, you know, a lot of people would say it's just evil. That's all it is. And I'm like, I sort of like sympathize with people who do have a mental illness, and you don't want to just like write it off like, you know, there's nothing that could be done, only you know, like I say, it's just an evil spirit. So how do you feel about that, Reverend Rogers?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You got to remember the Salem witch trials. There were a lot of people who were burned at the stake because people thought they were evil, they were witches. But these people were psychologically unbalanced. They were just, they had some problems. And we have to be careful. We're not doctors. We're not psychologists. So we have to be careful how we label people as to what their situation is. They could be, it could be an evil spirit. It could very well be, because the Bible tells us that those evil spirits do exist. But at the same time, we must also know that there are people who are mentally ill. And like I said, back in the 1800s, they killed a lot of people. They put a lot of people, they burned people at the stake. They put them in the stockade. They hung them simply because they were acting differently than everybody else. And some people say, well, they got an evil spirit. They got a devil in them and this, that, and the other. But we have to know that it could possibly be that they are mentally ill. Now, how do we know the difference? We don't. We have to let God show us the difference. We have to let God show us. Understand, I have worked at Murdoch Center long, long, many, many, many years ago, and I saw people who were brain damaged. These people were brain damaged. They had a damaged brain from birth. And I saw people knock their heads up against the wall, people who would swallow anything. You had to put a helmet on them to keep them from putting stuff in their mouth and swallowing. There are some people out here that are seriously messed up. And so we got to be careful how we look at folk and blame the devil for that. I think the devil has a lot to do with us blaming folk about that. So we got to be careful about that. So we got to make sure that we don't put stuff on folk that may not necessarily be the case. 5088.
Hello.
5088. Go right ahead.
Hello, Pastor Rogers. Everybody on the line.
Right.
Deaconess
Wayne,
how
Hello.
You doing?
Good evening, Deaconess.
Fine. How y'all doing?
All right.
I wanted to talk some on, let's see. I have a little bit on the spiritual effect, and then I have something on the psychological. And one is your freedom has been limited, you know, with the virus. You can't just get up and go like you used to. You know, things are closed, but like you said, some things are opening back up, like Deacon Taylor was saying. But you got to have like a preparation plan now when you get ready to go, mask and gloves and all that. And then one thing, psychologically, you ask yourself, do I really need this, you know? Do I really need the things on this list? Or am I just getting them, you know, just to be, you know, getting things, and then you look around and you might find something that you already have that can take the place of what you're going to get. So it's had like a psychological effect on me as far as just getting up going, you know.
Right. Having the intestinal fortitude to just get up and go. It can drain your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like when you get ready for a doctor's appointment, just like eye exam, it came up. But they were closed as far as just regular eye exams. But if you had emergency, you know, you can go in and get it done, you know. So things like that sort of like had something to do with you psychologically. You being more cautious of going and doing.
Right, exactly. One of the things that we can do is to stay prayerful and stay in the Bible. And because there have been times in Israelitic history when the people of Israel have gone through similar situations. And when they did that, they always turned to God to bring them out. Now, God might not have delivered them out with an army, but a lot of times God delivered them with a well-being, with a sense of well-being. He delivered them with a confidence in knowing that they could go forward. When Gideon went before the Amalekites and the Amorites, he was outnumbered. There was no way he was going to win that battle. But God gave him the confidence to know that he was going to win. And so sometimes we find ourselves in a situation like this. We got to have the confidence. We got to know that God, Sister Janice Evans said it better, said if he bring you to it, he'll bring you through it. Janice, Sister Janice, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Talk to us about this.
Sir?
Okay. Explain to us what you mean by that.
What I mean about if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what I was talking, I was talking about cancer because there was no way possible. It would have been no way possible that I could have gotten from where I was then to where
right.
I am now. And I knew that if it hadn't been for God, I'd have been somewhere I probably would have been dead and gone. But God brought me, he brought me to it for a reason. And the reason was for he knew that I was going to come through just like to go. But he wanted that glory. He wanted me to give him that glory. And so in order for him to get that glory out of me, he had to take me through something and bring me out. And then I've got something to talk about.
Well, you that was awesome testimony on Sunday. It was very awesome testimony. I thank God for it because it opened our eyes. It brought us to understanding that there is confidence in getting through. And I wanted to just bring it out because that hit the nail on the head Sunday. Another thing that we need to talk about as far as stress. You know, stress can kill you. Stress can do some things that will mess you up internally. Stress can cause you to gain weight, can cause you to have headaches, migraines. It can cause you to have all kind of interior problems. Stress can even cause heart mental instability. So we have to make sure that we deal with stress and we deal with it in a way that, because we're always under stress. We're always under stress. So we have to make sure we can deal with that stress. Let's go to 5257. I think I called it before. 5257, are you online?
Yes, Pastor. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Anytime we go through a pandemic, we come through now, it changes everything. It creates a great deal of uncertainty in our lives, and sometimes that uncertainty can cause us to do a lot of things. We can become fearful. We become sometimes frustrated, even with our spouses, and we have a lot of anxiety, and sometimes there's a lot of loneliness involved, and we have to fight it every day. Some of us probably get upset because we are not able to go to church on Sunday like we normally do, you know, and that creates anxiety. But there are a lot of things that we can do to try and lessen the amount of anxiety and fear that comes into our lives. And first thing we can do is we can read the Bible. We can read the Bible when we
That's
have
right.
time. And then you can talk on the phone now. Now when you talk on the phone, you can't go see your loved ones, but you can talk on the phone. You can use Duo, Tango, Zoom, whatever. So there are a lot of things that we can do. I know one Sunday I went up and I paid my church, and I come back home, got in my car, And I drove all the way down to Clinton. I'd never been to Clinton, North Carolina, so I drove through Durham down 421 to Clinton. And I got it, and I came up 24 to Fairview. And I ran 40 back to 95 and ran 95 back to 40 and ran 40 back into Raleigh and down number one and back home. Felt pretty good when I got back home. So sometimes you just have to change things around a little bit, and because it's tough out here. Don't be telling that to spouses or your friends, because that can happen to you.
You're absolutely right. I like what you said. But good.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, I was going to speak on the fact that you were talking about people being upset because they can't come to church. Now, there are people, you got to remember, we have never had a Sunday where we couldn't go to church. We're about to have homecoming in a few weeks at First Baptist, and we can't even come home. So this has been a year like no other, and it has affected us spiritually because we cannot get into church. Now, I'm not saying that it takes away our spirituality. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that we're still connected to God, that we can still praise God, that we can still give God the glory with or without the church. But what I'm saying is that there are many of us who have been in the church all of our lives. I started going to church when I was probably 6 years old. I don't remember too many Sundays that I have not been in a church. But this pandemic is probably the longest I wasn't in a church. And it does something to you. It definitely does something to you. Anybody else want to add something to that before we move on?
I do.
Go right ahead.
This Jen says again, and I thank God for this message because I have been going through for about since June. I have been going back and forth to the doctor and didn't feel good. I wasn't hurting anywhere or nothing was hurting me. I just didn't feel good. I just didn't feel like getting up out of my bed. I didn't feel like driving anywhere. And just by hearing what people have said tonight, lets me know that it wasn't nothing physical. It was just a mental thing. And I thank God for that because when I went to the doctor, she couldn't find anything. And she asked me, are you anxious or you got in? I said, I don't know. That's why I come to you. I was giving you $200. But if I had this message before she got my $200, she wouldn't have gotten my money. And I thank God for it.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That is awesome. That is awesome. Thank you for sharing that. First Lady, would you read the second part of that?
Yes, sir. Continuing, in conversation, some common things have emerged. While we normally think of grief only in connection with death of a loved one, we can have the same feelings of loss when we are facing uncertainty. We could all be grieving losses in this time. They may include loss of, but not limited to, a normal daily routine, time with friends and family, a feeling of insecurity, or security, excuse me, spiritual community, sacraments, and rituals, our communion on First Sunday. Sometimes when we experience grief, we feel shocked, anxious, fearful, sad, powerless, angry, or helpless. What we need to remember is that all these feelings and many others are normal. Being able to acknowledge where we are emotionally and spiritually can be empowering. Be kind to yourself as you navigate through your emotions. Self-care. When we are tired and overwhelmed, it's important to remember that there are a lot of things we can control. We can take care of ourselves right now. People commonly say that we, can't pour from an empty cup. We can't, excuse me, please, we can't care for others, be expected to work or do strenuous activities unless we take care of ourselves. This is always true, especially within the context of stress and change. These activities may be helpful. Listen to calm, relaxing music. Create a gratitude journal. Be thankful for what's going on around you. Every day, think of three things you are thankful for and write them down. Try meditative drawing. Take some crayons and colored pencils and try coloring or tracing a flower or a common pattern. There are many resources online for coloring pages. Last but not least, prayer and worship. Often in times of distress, we turn our minds to God. This can be difficult if the places we normally go to worship are closed right now. It can be helpful to try to recreate this environment at home. Many houses of worship are posting services online. Maybe your home community is offering this option, or maybe it's an opportunity to hear from a new pastor, a new imam, or a rabbi. And while I have the opportunity, Pastor, that is all of the lessons that I've read, but while I have an opportunity, 2329, to those that are just coming on, this is First Lady Rogers, while I have an opportunity, I would like to speak because it truly, truly have affected our household. You've already spoke about it, and as you said, not telling our business, but nevertheless, sickness is one of the main things that will have you in a fog. Most of my church family knows, and those that are outside of our church family but still church family, for those of you that don't know, I had a stroke, a mini stroke, thank God, on December the 8th of 2019. I had to somewhat, wasn't a bad thing, I had to get my balance back. I had to learn how to walk. I had to come out them cute high heels. I had to do a lot of stuff that I wasn't able to do. But the most thing that it tore up was my cognitiveness on my right-hand side. The stroke was on the left-hand side of my brain, bottom brain. So whatever, wherever the stroke is, it affects the opposite side. So it has affected my right side. But to God be the glory, I've come a long way because they have released me. They call it discharge. The physical therapist has discharged me from walking with a cane all the time, but I'm still, my balance is still a little crazy, so I have to put the cane in my purse at all times. I have to have it with me at all times just in case I get tired or feel like I'm going to fall or something like that. Long story short, but my occupational therapist is what is getting to me. I have not driven a car since December 8th. So Pastor Rogers, and I thank God, I mean, we have to, that's why a lot of times when we were churching, I used to say when we found out that somebody was sick, let us pray for the one that's doing the caretaking because that person is going through. Now, I went through a depression when it happened, and I'll be through in a minute, when it happened because I wondered how in the world was my husband going to take care of First Baptist and take care of me. I was a little concerned about that because I know what the vows say in sickness and in health. And I was at this in sickness and in health point. And I know that he and I had been together 37 years, but, you know, sometimes people get foolish. But nevertheless, I thank God that he has sticked and stayed. Forgive me if I don't say what I need to say, but I'm still going through occupational therapy. Excuse me. I go every week, at least once a week or twice a week. And I'm working, doing stuff that little children do. I'm having to go back and draw mazes, go see how I can get out of a maze, because my therapist is just wonderful, a young black young lady, wonderful. She has paid her dues and got her credentials. But anyway, she is teaching me now. I'm going through an extensive therapy because now that's all I have. But anyway, I'm even having to draw, clocks and make show her I can do time. I mean, it's serious, but it's stressful. And then I look at my husband, I look at Pastor, how he constantly laying before the Lord, and he's trying to get a sermon ready for First Baptist. And at first when it happened, I was thinking to myself, man, ain't nobody studying First Baptist. What about me? But then I had to let God tell me, you know, you go somewhere and sit down. I got you. He got you, and I got you too. So it can become stressful and spiritual. I kept asking God, why me? You know, because at one time I could sing, talk, and laugh, and do all that at the same time. I can't do none of that. Now I'm doing better, and I'm gonna get better because I know God is a healer, such as Sister Janet, and her testimony blessed me Sunday. Because when she was speaking, I thought to myself, I saw it. I didn't go to church, but I was on looking at it, and I thought to myself, I said, well. I said, okay, God, if she can have that kind of spirit with breast cancer, I know I can do, you can give me a spirit of gratitude. And that's what I know the Lord is going to give me now. We just got to take care of one another. And as the pastor say, everybody know in First Baptist, I'm a hugger. And I just can't wait to every Sunday, the Sundays that I can visit, I be wanting to hug folks so bad, and they be looking at me like, First Lady, don't you come over here? Because I know if I put my arm around them, they're going to put their arm around me. And, you know, I don't believe we try to do the social distancing, but you don't know, and people are scared to approach you. Like Brother Jonah said, they doing the arm bump. They doing some of everything. But anyway, just to let you know, we are not exempt because we are the pastor and the first lady. We have not been exempt from this. And trust me, I don't go outdoors unless I'm going to the doctor. Pastor goes to the store. He takes me to all of my doctor's appointments. I cannot wait until, and she will be the one, the occupational therapist will be the one that will tell me whether I can drive or not. And I just can't wait. Lord. And those mazes that I've been taking back in, she's the first lady, Miss Rogers, I ain't finna turn you loose to drive no car. You're gonna mess around here and run on somebody. You can't even get out of a maze. So it's funny to me. But I thank God for he left me with a sense of humor. And that's what's getting me by, sense of humor. And I do a lot of singing to myself. It sounds like my voice has changed when I sing. It sounds like I'm a soprano. And I said, okay, God, I know you doing that. If I become go from an alto to a soprano, I know that's going to be a miracle. But anyway, church family, I am grateful that the pastor thought of this topic as well. Because even just talking about it, it will uplift somebody's spirit. And as Sister Janet said, if she had had this information way before something else happened, she would have kept her money. And I don't fault you. Nevertheless, I thank God for you all listening, because it affects you from your head to your feet. It affects you. I'm having a problem with my feet now, and having to buy 1.5-inch cute shoes. And you know, I ain't studying that, but to God be the glory. Thank y'all, church
Amen.
Family.
Amen. We only got about 12 minutes left.
I'm sorry, Pastor. You know, when I get started, I get started.
I wanted to get into something else real quick. You spoke on grief. We have not been able to bury our loved ones since we have been in this pandemic. And I want to know how y'all feel about it. Now, there are several of you. I know Deaconess Rainey, you lost your brother. And it was a very difficult time for you and your family. How did it feel that you could not do what we normally do for those who pass?
It didn't feel that good. Sure didn't. A lot of people, you know, called and all. The ones that couldn't come because they couldn't, whenever we got to the front home, couldn't but 50 go in, and it was a man out there counting. And he told them,
right,
whenever we get to 50, that's it, you know. Told them up front,
right,
straight up. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody could not come that normally would have came. The Conference A building. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the Conference A in Riverside, that big building that hold like 2,000.
Right.
Or
uh-huh.
so.
Uh-huh.
It couldn't
yeah.
be nothing
yeah.
like that. So a lot of people called. Some people came like in spurts here and there to my mom's house and to my brother's wife's house. But it wasn't the same home going.
I know. We, as a people, we have always sent our people home on a grand scale. Whenever we have a funeral, whenever a loved one dies, we go through the whole litany, the songs, the preaching, the testimony, people talking about the good things they remember about that person. You have schoolmates that come up and talk about knowing him in school. You have coworkers that will come up and talk about knowing him at work. And we have not been able to do that in the last 8 or 9 months. And that has caused a lot of grief on people, because if your mother, if your father, if your grandmother, your grandfather passes, and you are not able to put them away like you want to, that can cause a lot of grief on the inside. Does anybody else have any thought about that?
I do. Talking about that, I had, by me being sick, I didn't know what was going to happen. I felt just like I was dying. And I had told my children, I've lived my life. If I die in this pandemic, do not put nobody else's life in jeopardy to come to a funeral home, to come to a grave site to see me or whatever. Just go ahead on and cremate me. And I'm not one for cremation. But I just didn't want anybody else to put their life in jeopardy, because I'm already gone. I've done my work. If I had died, I had done my work. What God wanted me to do, I had done it, and I was gone. So that's what I had told my children. Don't put my pastor in that predicament. Don't put my church family in that predicament. Just go on and cremate me. And then after this is all over, if you want to celebrate, go ahead. But with our wrong or with our right.
Yes. And that's unusual, but I understand why you said that. Does anybody else have any thought about that as well? There was a bishop that died in the United Church of Christ. This man was known worldwide. He had his funeral at a church that held over 3,000 people. There were only 40 people in the church. That's all. Now, we know that this man's life meant more than that. But I can imagine his family not having the people there who he knew in his lifetime. And I can just imagine how much grief that can bring on an individual who has to lay their loved one to rest in the time of a pandemic. There are things, certain things you got to wash your hands 3 and 4 or 5 times. You got to, you know, wear this mask. You got to wear gloves. You got to do all of that in order to even have a funeral.
Amen.
So, you know, it is really difficult for those who have gone through, who have lost their loved ones in this pandemic. And, beloved, there have been over 207,000 people who have died in the United States in the last 8-9 months. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. That's 207,000 funerals, 270,000 families who had to go through a funeral for their loved one. And we must understand today that this pandemic has put us in a very precarious situation, and we just have to keep going, as Sister Janice said, and we know that God will bring us through. Does anybody
That's
else
right.
have anything they'd like to add to the study tonight? I might not have called you, Pastor, but if you'd like to add anything, go right here. Go right here. Uh-huh.
Pastor Rogers.
Go ahead, Deacon.
Once again, I'm thankful and grateful for the discussion thus far, but I would like to remind everyone that the same copay that you may have to visit a doctor for a cold or any other illness is the same copay to see a professional psychological doctor or psychiatrist. So that same $15 you use to go for you cut your finger, that same $15 you can go get some psychological counseling, whatever your copay may be. I would like to just remind everyone of that.
Amen. That's a good thing to know, Deacon Taylor.
Amen.
Yeah, so you want that?
Okay. Yes, sir. Everybody. Yes, I was had a little something here on the psychological and emotional effect of the COVID, and I some of the things I had down was like a lot of it's already been said. I think of it like people emotionally feeling drained, mentally depleted, and physical fatigue.
Okay, you have to come in
and like
you
say, many of the people you know living all through this pandemic, and like you say, hadn't had their mental health. Address, and see unemployment is up, and that's in this the most since the Great Depression, because of the unemployment and stress, some families are on the verge of breaking apart. You can have Jesus in your heart and still have to struggle to hold it all together.
You better say it, amen.
Because the enemy, you know, he's trying to attack your mind.
That's
and
right.
even
That's
people
right.
that have worked hard to get away from, like, substance abuse. But during this crisis, you know, maybe they feel like the walls are closing in on them. And they're wrestling whether or not to having a drink or having a hit wouldn't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the one thing about the people, you know, burying their loved ones without a chance of a formal goodbye. And then seniors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, graduating with no or small celebrations because of social distancing. And then school online is causing emotional effects on a lot of parents. In some of the homes, like one of the parents having to quit work. So someone would be at home, you know, to homeschool those kids.
Amen.
Wow.
That'll put a strain on people.
That is true.
And that's it for me.
Well, thank you so very much. You're absolutely right. All of those things, all those aspects add stress to a pandemic situation. Having to deal with the children. I hadn't even thought about the school homeschooling. But that in itself is a hard task to do, even in a normal situation. But to do it in a pandemic, I can imagine, is an extremely difficult thing to do. Again, I thank God for this conversation tonight. I thank all of you who have tuned in to talk about this, and perhaps later on we'll have another discussion about this. We'll talk about some other things about the COVID-19 pandemic. But I wanted to take this time tonight just to touch base with you, let you know that you're not alone. We're all going through this. We're all going through this situation, regardless of what it is, whether it be anxiety or stress or fear or loneliness or depression, whatever symptom you got right now. Just know that God is still in control and that it's going to get better. That's why I played that song when I opened up. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I don't know when. I don't know how, but I do know it's going to get better. And so I want us to stay prayerful, knowing that God will make a way out of no way. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to ask? Or say?
I got one more thing.
Go right ahead.
I'm asking anybody. I've got a friend that's got a mother in a facility home. She wants to vote. Can y'all tell me how can I? She can't come out. So how can I get her to vote? Do y'all know?
How could she what?
Vote.
How can she vote?
Right.
Well,
in the nursing home.
Is, the home that I was working at, they can't. Home that I was at, they came in and took votes, residents' votes. So I don't know how to go about, how she would go about doing it, but maybe do some Googling or something, because they came in and actually took the residents' votes right there.
Yeah, that's how most of them have done. Yeah.
But what county does she live in? I'm sorry, Deaconess.
Wake County, and she has just gone there. I think this is like the third day.
Mm-hmm.
She has just gone there. Somebody might have gone in already, but she's just going to make sure she gets counted. So I don't know how to go about it.
One thing that she might can request, the absentee ballot.
Okay.
You're right, Miss Brenda. That or either go up front or wherever it is, the administration office, and let them know in the rest home that her mom, because the voting starts in a couple of days, let them know that her mom wants to vote, so they can tell her or get her registered. Because if she's in a rest home, I'm sure she's voted before, so she may already be registered.
Yes,
right, and it's just a matter of, I guess, her somebody calling and telling. So please ask her to go to the administrative office, because they're supposed to take care of all of that for her and tell them that, how can I get my mother voted? How can she vote? Start there, or either she needs to go to the county in Wake County, to the county building.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. All right. Well, we thank all of you for calling in tonight to be a part of our Bible study. We pray God's blessing on you. Deacon Taylor, would you pray for us as we go out tonight?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for what has been said and done, what our ears have heard, and what our hearts have received. Lord, we ask and pray for further guidance in our lives. From
Lord.
Anything in our minds, Lord, to even our finances, Father. Lord, touch each and everyone in their own situation. But, Lord, please stay with us and guide us. Don't let us be desensitized what has gone on each and every day in our lives. Lord, let us still have clarity in our our minds to know right from wrong, Father. Lord, we just want to thank you right now for this topic of discussion. We want to thank you for each and every person that has tuned in tonight, Father. We thank you for a portion of your word to touch each and every one of us in a different way that's still going forth, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank all of you for calling and have a great week. And we will see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
God bless
you.
Amen.
Good night. Amen.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.